So we're hearing again two sets of scripture. One is the first set is a parable, and then the next set is actually the explanation of the parable. This is the parable of the sower from St. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, and then jumping down to verse 18. So hear the word today. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for all of the people of God. Thanks be to God. Ready?
Beep, beep. Do you realize you've been spilling seed all down the road? I've been driving all over it for a couple of miles. Is your tractor like faulty or something?
No, sir. The tractor's just fine. I want that there seed on the road.
So you're intentionally putting seed on the road. Look, I might be a little bit of a city slicker, but I was under the impression that seeds grow in a field after it's been plowed and all that.
Well, yes, sir, I reckon you'd be right that about the field thing.
So you're really putting seed on the road?
Yes, sir, there's a whole group of us all over the world called Erfel, and we're all doing it.
Erfel? That kind of sounds awful.
Well, yes, sir, it stands for Equal Rights for All Land. We in Erfel believe that it's unfair that only the bourgeois soil gets the privileged position of bearing fruit. We think that all land should have equal opportunities, and asphalt has just as much a right as anything else to grow things. It's only this dualistic, capitalistic, neo-agrarianistic culture that discriminates against bitumen and prevents it from achieving its full potential.
So, like, this stuff actually grows?
I'm sure there's been at least one or two that have sprouted.
But did they grow?
Yes, sir! Well, maybe just two or three grew by the side of the road. I was saying to Loretta, the rest got snapped off in their prime by callous motorists like you, I might add.
So a couple of plants out of a million seeds, that doesn't sound very efficient to me.
Well, no, sir. But what do you expect after centuries of asphalt repression? Years of ingrained habits don't change overnight, you know. Still, we press on, encouraging ourselves with the Erfel anthem.
I don't think there's any danger of anything getting ingrained here, so why don't you just sing your anthem for us?
Okay, it goes like this. Sow, sow, sow your seed gently down the road. Sadly, 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 none of it has grown. Join me. Sow your seed gently down the road. Sadly, 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 none of it has grown. Everybody, sow your seed gently down the road. Sadly, 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 none of it has grown. One more time. Sow your seed gently down the road. Sadly, 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 none of it has grown. What a sport this guy is. You should have heard him try to say city slicker earlier in the week. He was pretty close to saying words that shouldn't be spoken in a sanctuary. Well, the parable of the sower, which is the story that Jesus told in chapter 13, reminds me of my attempts at gardening. In the late 1990s, I was appointed as the associate pastor at Bridgeport United Methodist Church, and my dearest and I were interested in doing some gardening. The thing is, the soil around the parsonage wasn't really good enough for any kind of gardening. And about that same time, a couple at Bridgeport Church was pretty much finished with trying to do any gardening. They said that they were too old to do it anymore. So they said, well, why don't you come down and you come over to our property? You can garden there. So we loaded up the girls. We just had the girls put them in the strollers, and we just walked a couple blocks down to Mr. and Mrs. Fowler's house and tried our hand at gardening. Now, the first year, Mr. Fowler just watched us. I mean, he offered us the tools and all that kind of stuff. He just watched what we were doing. But the second year, he provided more guidance, which is good because we really only had a rudimentary knowledge of how to go about gardening. Now, the one rule I remember Mr. Fowler telling us is that you always have to plant just a little bit more for the deer and any other animal that happens to want to eat out of your garden. And so that's what we did. Now, I had read in a magazine that if you hung aluminum pie plates, overlap them, that, you know, the banging of that would kind of keep the deer, deer away. And I suggested that to Mr. Fowler, and he kind of snickered when I suggested that. And thinking about it later, which was kind of weird that he snickered, because he's the one that said that he had read in a magazine that if you put VHS cassette tape around your garden, that would keep the deer out. So we got some old VHS, and we pulled all the tape out, and we put this tape all around the garden. And wouldn't you know, the deer ignored it and still went in the garden and ate up what we had. Now, of course, we had a little bit of a harvest. You know, we had some lettuce, I remember. We had some cucumbers and zucchini and some tomatoes and those kind of things. But it was never any kind of great big harvest. The parable of the sower isn't meant to be some expose about ancient farming practices. Needless to say, we think that such indiscriminate scattering of the seed was wasteful and inefficient. But the story does highlight, and here's what I want you to go away with. The story does highlight the power of God to bring about a harvest from the proclamation of the good news of the kingdom. The power of God to bring about a harvest from the proclamation of the good news of the kingdom. Let me say first, and I'm quoting Gene Boring right now. He says, the victory of the kingdom of God is sure. The harvest is God's doing, and God is faithful. It's assumed that Jesus was in Galilee at that time. That's the northern part of Palestine. And we get that from how the story is told and the whole thing about the boat. He'd left Simon Peter's house in Capernaum. I know it doesn't actually say that, but it does seem to suggest that that Capernaum and Peter's house was kind of his home base for his operations up in the northern part of Palestine. And he walked to the Sea of Galilee. Of course, wherever Jesus went, he was never alone. The crowds were always like right behind him. In this case, it was just the same. He followed right behind him as he made his way out to the Sea of Galilee. And the Bible tells us that there were so many people that he got in a boat, pushed it out a little bit from the shore, and sat down. And there he taught. And his voice would just go right over the waters. Kind of created a nice natural amphitheater for the word to be sowed among the crowds. They were entranced right when Jesus said, "Listen, a sower went out to sow." In chapter 13, Jesus tells seven parables, four of which were for the crowds and three to the disciples. Parables are stories describing situations in everyday life which convey a spiritual meaning. The first parable is about a farmer sowing seed, and as he scattered the seed, some of it fell on the very path that he had walked to get to the field. Naturally, some birds pecked at it, and that seed never produced anything for the farmer. Some seed fell on the rocky Palestinian ground. There was enough soil for the seed to sprout, but not enough for the roots to grow deep so that it could sustain the hot days. Naturally, when it got hot, the plant withered. It produced nothing for the farmer. Some seed fell among the weeds, or as the New Revised Standard Version says, the thorns. Naturally, as the weeds and the seed grew, the weeds won out, and the seed produced nothing for the farmer. But of course, some seed fell on good ground, good soil. It germinated, and it grew an abundant crop. One thing to keep in mind about parables is that not every single detail in the story has any kind of hidden meaning. The parable's explanation, which we're going to look at in just a bit, doesn't even identify who the sower is. But I'm going to go along with what most people think, and that the sower is God. What a picture we have of God. Now, how inefficient can you be? Here God is wasting the proclamation of the gospel in places where it doesn't bear any fruit. Can you see God scattering the seed of gospel in places with people too ignorant to understand what He's saying? Can you see God scattering the seed of the gospel in places where people are too shallow to keep a commitment? Can you see God scattering the seed of the gospel in places with people too anxious and too greedy for worldly gain? By the way, all three of those questions deserve a yes answer. The experts would have told God to do some kind of strategic study to find out if it's worth scattering the seed along the path and the rocky ground and the land choked with weeds. They would have told him to scatter the seed and of the gospel in the places where it might bear the highest yield. He'd be famous among gospel preachers. He'd be able to write books to tell everybody how he did it. He'd be able to go to conferences and be the main speaker and tell us all how to preach the gospel best. Nah. If God indeed is the sower in the parable, then we see a generous God announcing the good news everywhere. No study is needed as to the best places to make the announcement. God is going to get a yield from the proclamation. 30, 60, or 100-fold, the parable says. Jesus purposefully conflated those numbers. An ancient farmer might get a 7-fold yield or maybe a 10-fold yield, but not a 30, not a 60, and not a 100. But as I said before, the victory of the kingdom of God is sure. The harvest is God's doing, and God is faithful. I get an amen from anybody out of that? Yeah, yeah. God is faithful. God's going to get a harvest because God's the one that's doing the sowing. Yes, I understand God uses us to go about doing some of that sowing. But ultimately, it is God's work. And God doesn't find any place in this world a place where the gospel shouldn't be shared. The good news of the kingdom needs to be shared in every single place. God's going to get a yield. Let me say second that we must tend to the soil of our hearts so that we bear fruit to the glory of God. That seems to be the lesson from Jesus' explanation of the parable. Jesus explained the parable only to the disciples. He left the crowds to kind of figure it out for themselves. But he pulled in the disciples and explained to them what he was talking about. Again, he doesn't identify the sower, but he does identify the seed, the word of the kingdom. This word is the gospel, but I want you to listen. Say, preacher, I'm listening to you. Okay. Now listen. The gospel, according to Jesus, isn't that Jesus died for your sins, and if you believe in him, you'll go to heaven. Now, that's all true. Are you listening to me? That's all true, but that's not the gospel that Jesus proclaimed. Jesus announced that the kingdom of God had arrived in him. It's here. Remember the summary of Jesus' teaching? St. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. You also find the same summary in Matthew, but I chose Mark because it's my name. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. Maybe it should say, repent and believe in this good news that the kingdom of God is here. What he expected from the proclamation was, as Dick France once wrote, the practical acceptance of God's sovereignty. In other words, Jesus expected those who received the message, the gospel, to pledge allegiance to him, to devote themselves wholly to the Lord. Have you done that? Have you pledged allegiance to Jesus? That's not a rhetorical question. Have you done it? Have you said yes to Jesus? I'm going to follow you, Lord. I'm going to follow you. That's what his message is all about. Oh, yes, Jesus did die for your sins. And if you believe in him, you're going to go to heaven. But the gospel that Jesus proclaimed was that the kingdom of God is here, and that through him, one day all things will be made new. Have you pledged allegiance to Jesus? Are you wholly devoted to him? Not only is the seed important, but so is the soil. Some people hear the good news but don't understand it, and are susceptible to demonic pilfering of what was sown in their hearts. Some people, they hear the good news and they're gung-ho to follow Jesus, but they don't deepen their faith in him. And when things get rough, they bail. Plain and simple. Some hear the good news and they receive the message, but their response is really only superficial. The stuff of life is more important to them in the end. But some people hear the good news, receive the message, and grow into fruitful and faithful Christians. What kind of soil are you? One thing about soil in the natural is that it changes over time. Soil experts say the composition of soil can change actually daily. The same can be said about the soil in the spiritual. We might be as healthy as the soil in the fourth example, but there's a risk of us becoming as hard as the ground of the path. There's a risk that our enthusiasm might wane because we failed to go deep. There's a risk that we might turn our eyes away from Jesus and on to the things of this world. It's essential that we toil daily in the soil of our hearts to keep them receptive to the good news and to all God's blessings. In this age of instant rice and microwaves, I'm sorry to say that there's no quick way to become spiritually healthy. There's no quick way to maintain healthy soil. There is no miracle grow. There's no miracle grow for the soil of your hearts. The best way to do this is to regularly practice the means of grace, as we United Methodists call them, spiritual disciplines. There's no substitute for reading and reflecting on the Bible daily. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for seeking God in prayer. There's no substitute for gathering weekly for worship. There's no substitute for fasting and journaling and being involved in a small group and serving and in many other practices that help us to stay in love with God. And remember, when we do these things, we bring joy to God's heart. And what's the Bible say? The joy of the Lord is our strength. The parable of the sower teaches us that God generously announced the good news of the kingdom throughout creation. Yes, in some places the announcement won't bear any fruit, but in other places the yield is outstanding. For us to continue to be fruitful, it's essential that we mind the soil of our hearts. Only you can keep your soil rich and healthy for the glory of God. Let us pray. Loving God, your love for the world is extravagant. Use us to share the good news of the kingdom with those around us. Let your Holy Spirit guide us into a deeper faith in you. All for your honor and glory, we pray. Amen.